Would you take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Hebrews? We've been studying the book of Hebrews. We've been studying how Jesus is better. Wouldn't it be great if the message around the world is, again, especially in India, where they have so many gods, that they could realize and just really process the fact that Jesus is better than every one of them, that he's not a little g god, he is God. And that's what they need to hear, and that's what, again, and that only happens if we partner and we help, we get behind, and again, the Great Commission here locally and around the world, here in our Jerusalem, in our Samaria, Judea, all these different places right here locally. Most of them are represented back there on bus routes. Amen, as we reach out to those folks, and again, and that gauge is really our focus on the uttermost parts of the world, the places that we can't go, the places that we can't minister unless God sends us to those places, but we have others that God is already using and we can support. And last year we had our focus on hold the rope, amen? And a lot of times that's used in just trying for us here to hold and anchor that and anchor those folks. But again, to this year, our focus in missions conference was consider the cost. You know, the cost is high, folks. We live in a late day, and we've got a president that's heading into office, and a lot of what he is talking about and what Americans are thinking about is counting the cost. Amen? I think his focus is more about cutting some costs, but again, for all of us, we have to realize and we have to come to the place where, again, when we consider the cost is great for missions worldwide. And we don't have less people than before. We have more people that need to hear the gospel than ever before. Hebrews chapter number 3, and we'll kind of enter into chapter number 4. I want to remind you that we just went through here in the beginning of the chapter. He has talked about here at the beginning of chapter number 3, how that God is, in Jesus Christ, is a great high priest. He's talked about how that Moses, really the contrast or the comparison is to Moses, that Jesus is better than Moses. And so he makes some statements, and we've been through the chapter, and so for time's sake, not going back, but he talks about how Moses was someone who was worthy of honor, who was a good steward over the house and the building that he was given, but Jesus is the builder of the house, and that he's worthy of more honor. And he builds and he goes down through the chapter and he begins to talk about, again, the book is Hebrews, is written to the Jew. We've said this many times, and I want to remind you, because it's been a little while as we've been in Missions Month, as we've been kind of away from the study, but he talks about, and he's going to consistently talk to the Jew and reference back to a time when they were under Moses, and that how the people consistently, rather than following God and his direction and his man, hardened their heart. And he uses the term in the day of provocation, and we mentioned that and taught through that section, but I want you to come down with me with that in mind to where he gets to verse 16, and he says, for some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those or them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Again, we mentioned this before, but they went all the way to the promised land. They sent in spies. The spies came back. You know, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Young people sing about it in Sunday school class, and we remember, but they, instead of entering on into the rest, they feared what man could do unto them when God had promised them a promised land. Now, were they going to enter into absolute rest? No. But was it the promised land, a land that God had promised to give them? Yes. Was it going to be a place where they eventually could rest from their labor, in a place that they, after the battles and the fighting? Yes. It was a picture of many things to come for the Christian and for the Jew. But as they entered in, they did not enter in because of unbelief. And it says here that he was grieved. We mentioned this before, but just let me talk about, for all of us, there's a time when we should be going forward and we draw back, or we don't go forward by faith. And you say, do I make God angry? Not always. Sometimes you grieve him. And I don't know whether you think grieving is worse than angering God, but I think grieving, when you love somebody and you grieve them, Sometimes I would rather them be angry. Grieving, to me, at least in the description and the mindset, is just a heaviness on their heart and a feeling of great disappointment. For all of us, we can see a lot of times if we go forward in faith and we're running, they're going forward and they get to that point and God says, I'm with you, I'm going to go with you. And again, they can go in His power, but instead of going in His power, they say, in our own power, we're not able. Now, do you think God already knew that? Absolutely. But a lot of times when we go forward and we, again, we're in missions month, and I'm not really preaching on missions, but the Bible's here, so let's take advantage of it. Amen? If we're not careful, when we think about the economy and our wallet and everything else, we think about our limited means and what we can do in our own strength and our own power. That's not faith promise giving. Faith promise giving is seeing that God is bigger. He's better. All right? He's so big, and that if I just trust Him, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold under the hills and the diamonds under the gold, and He's got no problem giving me what He wants me to give to Him. Now, He could have somebody walk along the street and a missionary every day pick up a gold coin or pick up a diamond and try to trade that in, but that's not always how God works. And I'm going to just tell you, most of my ministry has been God likes to use people, not only to be witnesses, but to give through them so that they can be a blessing to somebody else, to be a giver and a goer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for all of us, this idea of giving is a thing where we ought to trust God by faith. I would never want to get to heaven and realize that there was a day that God set up, and I mean, He spoke to my preacher's heart, and my preacher brought missionaries in. And we had a missions conference, and I mean, we had a great time, and God brought me to the place of decision, and then out of fear, I didn't have the faith to make a decision that God wanted me to make. And again, do you think God's going to get angry with the Christian that He's talked to, that He's drawn, that He's helped? No, He's going to be just like He was with these Jews. That He had promised them, He had made a promise. A faith promise, folks, is not one that you make to God. It's one that you talk to God. God, what faith promise do you want me to make to my church? We don't think about it that way. It's you getting with God and God saying, make this faith promise. And letting God give it through you. A lot of times we think we're promising it to God, and we are, but the promise is when we get the number from God, we say, God, if you give it to me, I promise that I'll give it to your church. And we miss that sometimes because we think we're making a promise to God, but when God says, listen, you can trust me with this, put this on the card. And then we don't put it on the card. I don't think you got a God who's angry. I think it's a God who's grieved that you wouldn't trust Him. That you wouldn't trust Him. Listen, when they came to that place and they wouldn't cross over, and He said, all you got to do is trust me and cross over and go into the promised land, I'll take care of all the enemies. I'll take care of all the problems. I'll supply every need. And they just came to that edge. And sometimes we don't always apply the thing. We're not always in the midst of missions conference when we come to a book like this. But it's good for us to be reminded that, again, that it's not always a God who's angry because we sin. Sometimes He's grieved. And like it or not, when God tells us something to do and we don't do it, what do we call that? It's sin. He goes on and He says in verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? You know, listen, he just says, after they grieve God and they turn back, God says, you're not going to enter into my rest. It wasn't that they couldn't go on across the Jordan. They couldn't cross into the promised land, but now they were going to go by themselves if they went on in. Now they have to, if they're going to stay with God, God says, this generation will not grieve me like that again. I'm not going to take you into the promised land. And again, he tells them, and he goes through this process in verse 18, and to whom swear he. Now you say, I don't think you should. God promised the promised land, but when they turned back and didn't take him at his word, God gave them another word. And he says, you will not go into the promised land. And they had to turn back and go through the wilderness. Folks, I don't know about you, but he's going to go through this focus. And again, I'm trying to be serious about it tonight, because when we enter into chapter 4, he talks about having a better rest prepared for the saint. And he begins it with a let us therefore fear. Look at verse 19. He says, so see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. What is the opposite of faith? Unbelief. What is a lack of faith? Unbelief. For all of us, when we talk about faith promise, what is the key ingredient to faith promise? We think it's the promise. But the key ingredient to faith promise is faith. It's trusting God. It's believing in Him. Realizing He's big as any promise that you could make. That He's bigger. That He can supply our every need and the needs of the missionary through us if we're willing to have faith and trust God and make a faith promise that we'll give it to Him if He gives it to us. Folks, I don't know about you, but, you know, every day they make funnels. Now, my dad don't like to buy funnels. My dad taught me how to make funnels. We had a few bought funnels around the house, but we never could seem to come up with them when we needed one. And most of the time, we'd be real careful with the first quart of oil and try to aim it just right, because we was going to take that jug and cut the end off of it and stab it in there and put the next one in. And you said you put 2 quarts of oil. Now you know what kind of vehicles I drove most of my life. Amen. They were 2 quarters. Amen. They didn't just lose one. They lost 2 before we got. You say you just didn't check it off enough. Okay. You ain't seen much of what I've driven. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at we ought to have faith. We ought to trust God to supply. Sometimes God don't always give you a brand new funnel, but He'll give you the wisdom how to make one. Sometimes God don't always just rain money down from heaven, or it doesn't grow on your avocado tree. But He'll give you extra hours at your job if you make a good promise. He'll let you have an opportunity to do something. He'll even show you maybe in your own budget how you can just cut something out that you probably shouldn't have anyway and give it to Him. Folks, I'm just telling you, we serve a good God. And He wants more, not just that He wants the gospel to go around the world, but He loves you and wants you to be a part of it. He gets in chapter 4, and I'll leave off our missions focus tonight just a little bit to begin. There are 4 times in the chapter, and we will not get to all of them tonight, but he uses a term that I love. If you read the bulletin on a Sunday morning, when I write the little article that goes in there, there's so many times that I'll write the article, and when I get near the end, I can't help from the scripture but to use the term, let us. We're a church, folks. The writer's writing to a people group that he is a part of, and he says, let us. It's something when we're a part of a church, even in faith promise, I can't help but to realize that, folks, we don't, any of you that give to a missionary by yourself, you're missing out on a great blessing of being a part of the whole. There are people sometimes, and along the way, I never understood it. I don't know, I'm just not built that way. But sometimes we want to get the glory and we want them to see us, hand them the check. But I'm just going to tell you, God's way has always been to work through His church. And even in this faith promise mission, it don't matter how big a part you have or how small a part you have, that all adds together to one goal. And let us give that to the missionary. Let us see what God does with the money. Let us work and give. Let us take on a missionary that's going to give the gospel around the world, but let us not forget that we've got a job to do right here in town. That we've got to take the gospel across the street and down the road with the bus, and we've got work to do. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now tonight, this is being spoken of folks that again are being preached to, and they did not mix that with faith. Can I just say this for all of us? This isn't just brand new believers. You may come to church, and I don't know where you are tonight, but I just want to help somebody that maybe is feeling like, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I haven't heard any rumors, so this isn't coming off of somebody, and I'm taking shots at you tonight. But if you're here tonight and you're like, you know, I just ain't getting fed like I used to. I just don't feel like I'm getting the Word of God like I used to get it. I'm just going to tell you, I can preach till I'm blue in the face. And the Word of God can be perfect, but if you don't come in this building mixed with faith that God is going to speak to you and that you're ready to receive the good Word of God, don't blame it on the preacher, and surely don't blame it on the book, and don't blame it of the God of the book. You didn't come in expecting God to speak to you. You didn't come in ready to receive a blessing. Part of getting ready to come in is preparing ourselves to do business with God. How many times do we walk in the building and instead of being ready to do business with God, we're here to punch the clock, to do our time. And when the preacher goes a couple minutes over, we're checking on him. In case of this preacher, when he goes allotments over, we're checking his time because we didn't get in to get a blessing. We're looking to come in and put our time in. Not to have the good or the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God affect me. By the way, I don't know if you're picking this up, but I'll throw it down a little closer to you so you can get it. This says that there's a direct connection between preaching and peace. There's a direct connection between preaching and faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we tune out the things that would tune us up and would give us rest. If you've heard the gospel all your life, it ought not turn you off when you come in on a Sunday morning, your preacher gets up and he just preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, I've heard it that way before. It ought to give you rest in your soul that you know where you're headed and that you're in a good church that preaches the gospel because not all of them do. It ought to give you rest in your soul that you're right in the place that God wants you because the church is doing the business that the church is in business to do. You say, preacher, you're getting after somebody tonight. No. I just know this. I never want to come to church and sit in the pew and not be ready to take the preaching and mix it with my faith. You say, what when you say, what happens when the good when good preaching happens, there ought to be a churning inside of you. God ought to be working through the faith that's already lies within you and the preaching of His Word. And the Holy Spirit is the beater, the mixer. He's in there. You say, well, how come He's not mixing in me? What'd you do to quench Him before you came in tonight? When was the last time that you heard from Him? When was the last time you had rest? When the preaching was spoken and you felt, man, not that helped me, but that's truth. You know, that's what rest is. When we just recognize, and it's something that's it's familiar. It's according to the Word of God, and I know that it's true. When we get to say amen, amen. You say, what does that mean? That means I already know that. Let it be so. Most people, again, when we're preaching the Word of God and they say amen, they know what's coming. Because they heard that one before. People that ain't never heard it, you know what they're sitting there? They don't know to say amen, and they're just hanging on every word. And your amen confirms it's somebody behind them in the pew. Now you'll scare them half to death. Because they're trying to listen, but they're like, oh, okay, he must believe it too. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, I don't know about you, but I don't want to ever get to the place where I'm not a Christian that has rest in my soul. I may not have the rest I want in my body, but I want to have rest in my soul. Not just resting in my faith in my finished work of Jesus Christ, but I rest in the fact of my future is settled. I know that my future rest is not dependent on me. When I rested in Jesus Christ, I knew my sins are no longer on my account. They've been put on His account, and I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And that heaven is being prepared, that the place I'm going isn't necessarily ready yet, but it's being prepared. I'm being prepared to enter into that rest. By the way, I couldn't enjoy it as a sinner in this fleshly body. And so on the way, I'll be prepared to enter into that rest. And I'll be made into His likeness. And I'll cross over the swelling time, not the same person that I used to be, not just a saved soul, but somebody who's saved in body. And the aches and pains and the rest that I needed will be taken care of like that. I won't need to sit down when I get to heaven because I'm sore or hurting somewhere inside of myself. The rest will be, woo, I'd like to hear the rest of the story. Could I sit down at your feet? Could I sit down with Paul and get some rest? Who's going to preach? Because I need some more rest. Amen. Who's going to praise the Lord for what He did for you? I want to have some more rest. We miss it, and we think and we calculate everything in these old fleshly bodies. We calculate it in the flesh and instead of the spirit and rest. What does rest look like? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen. Tell me again. Tell me again what it was like. Amen. That night that you hung between heaven and earth for me. Tell me what it was like that day. I don't really know. I've only read it in the scripture, but when everything went dark, how did you make that happen? When there was lightnings and thunderings, what were you doing? What supernaturally in the heavens took place? God, who went down? Did you send an angel? How'd you tear the veil in two to let everybody know that the way had been opened into the Holy of Holies so I could enter into rest. This book, man, this chapter goes to a place and it invites us, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Folks, I'm just going to tell you tonight, do you know there's a world of huge mission field of people who have zero rest because they don't know Jesus. They've never had a chance to be mixed or build any kind of faith because they've never heard the preaching of the gospel. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. We live in a day and age where in the United States of America, most of our children ride in our bus say, Jesus who? The only person they know that name is a person who's being cursed in their home. He's never been preached. That person, surely in their mind and heart, is not a person that can bring rest. Because it's only during unrest in their home that His name is screamed out. Folks, what a job we have to do. I mean, what a job we need around the world, but right here at home. What a purpose. You know, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I can tell you this. Tonight I'll go home. And not just because I'm tired, but because I know for sure that if I pass from death into life, I know where I'll be in the morning. I'll cross the swelling tide. I'll enter into that rest that is being spoken of in the scripture. And I will sleep without worry of my eternal destiny, safe and secure in the faith that I placed in Jesus Christ. Amen. For us, listen, how many people tonight will pillow their head. And somebody, maybe they read a tract, maybe they've heard a little bit, but they've not mixed it with faith. And tonight they won't sleep because their soul hangs between the balance. And they're not really sure how to fix it. And they're not able to get any rest. Listen, folks, I used to be that person. I grew up in a church. I'd heard all the preaching, but I was a procrastinator. I was somebody who knew and I had questions. And, you know, I grew up in a church and people told me when I said, I feel like I need to be saved. I had people in my church tell me, no, you got saved when you were 5. No, remember you went down at that time. And they gave me, again, several times I had that, but there was always something still inside of me that was unrest. And I remember being under the preaching of the gospel. And that night there was churning going on in my soul. And I remember making a decision, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I need rest. And I knew that night that it would only be found in Jesus Christ, in a personal relationship with Him. It wouldn't be in my church. It wouldn't be in baptism. It wouldn't be in anything else I could put my faith in. But I needed Jesus. Folks, if you're here tonight and you're in the midst of unrest, you'll not find it in being good, turning over a new leaf. You'll not find it in the Holy Eucharist. You won't find it in baptism. You won't find it in the labor for the church or in giving. You'll only find rest in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you came in and you need to be saved, well, we'll take a Bible tonight and show you how you can enter into that rest by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're one of God's people, and one of the things you've been missing is rest. Even though you're saved, you've had some unrest in your soul because there's a separation, maybe a lack of faith. What the Bible calls is, listen, this will hurt your feelings tonight. The Bible calls it unbelief. Maybe there's some of that in your life. And God's been pulling on you and trying to get you to do something. Why don't you give in to Him tonight and find rest for your soul? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, as the musicians come tonight, if you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, that helped me tonight. That led us." Why don't we go to the altar? Let us do business with God tonight. If you need to be saved, why don't you step out and meet me in the front and accept Christ as your Savior? How many of you would slip your hand up and say, God spoke to me tonight. Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to me tonight. Would you do business with Him? Let's stand to our feet. Dear Lord, I pray that tonight God's people would do what You've asked them to do. Help us not to put off till tomorrow. Help us not to look down. Help us not to wait for rest. But tonight, Lord, find our way to an old-fashioned altar and believe and grow by faith. God, I pray they will. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?